We read together this afternoon from God's holy word, from 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And following the reading of this scripture, we'll confess our faith as expressed in the Apostles' Creed and then sing together Psalter 334, all the stanza. Hear the word of the Lord from 2 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes, to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. So far, God's holy word. We confess with the Christian church, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, which all can be summarized, he descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic, that is, worldwide Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalter 334. Following the sermon, let's sing together Psalter 185, stanza 1, 3, 4, and 5, and then 1 again. So 1, 3, 4, 5, 1 of 185. Faith and assurance of faith, that's the subject for this afternoon's sermon. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, I'm hoping to do a short series on faith-related topics. Last week, you remember, we studied about faith and grace. The sermon was based on Romans 4:16 and how salvation is of faith
that it might be according to grace, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. It's so important to grasp that salvation is by faith, that it might be according to grace. Well, another time we will think about faith and works. And then another time we'll think about faith and deception. Maybe we'll have a sermon on faith and the Holy Spirit. This time the subject is faith and assurance of faith. You have to agree with me. Our text, 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul speaks there not just in faith, but with such assurance of faith. Though in prison for the gospel's sake, and having many trials and obstacles in the way, Paul asserts, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. This text expresses such assurance of faith, and it reflects the blessing of such assurance as well. The Bible surely teaches us, doesn't it, not only to believe the gospel, but it so encourages us to live in the assurance of faith. Often the reality is people are struggling in this whole matter of assurance of faith, also among us. So I'm praying that this sermon will be a real help, even for the weakest, struggling, doubting Christian among us. And at the same time, that it will make those envious of Christians who do not know the Lord at all, and up till now aren't interested in knowing Him and following Him. Looking at our text and drawing from it and other verses as well, notice with me in connection with our theme, faith and assurance. First, the words of assurance Paul used. The words of assurance Paul used. Second, the way of assurance Paul knew. The way of assurance Paul knew. And third, the worth of assurance Paul showed. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, just from the words of the text, can teach us much about faith and assurance of faith. Notice right away what may seem obvious, but can be and is all too often forgotten or overlooked. Assurance of faith is only in the way of faith. What does Paul say? I know whom I have believed. Assurance comes in the way of believing. Assurance of faith is not something that is given apart from faith ever. If you have assurance of faith that you are saved and that you will go to heaven, but you do not live in faith and trust, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, then your assurance of salvation is plainly false, and it's only deception. Assurance of faith is in the way of believing the gospel and more looking to and reaching for the God of our salvation as revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to catch here exactly Paul's expression or his words reflecting so much assurance of faith. Notice Paul says, I know not what I have believed, but he says, I know whom I have believed. There's a big difference there. Faith and the way of assurance of faith is all about focusing not just on truth, but on the God of truth. Not just on salvation, but on the God of salvation. Not just on gospel comfort, but on the God of all comfort, as revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gained so much assurance of faith when in faith, focusing on God. I so agree with the commentator who wrote, the statement of 2 Timothy 1:12 would have lost immeasurably if Paul had said what instead of whom. The Christian faith we are called to believe in and that Christians trust is not simply a bunch of true facts and figures, nor is it wonderful treasures by itself. It is about the living true God, who is infinitely glorious and who is the overflowing fountain of all good, the creator, redeemer, provider of all true blessings for now and forevermore. From just the words of our text, we learn further. Assurance of faith is not about assurance of ourselves, but assurance of God, in whom you put your trust. The whole verse is totally God-focused. If you want assurance, the way to get it, the way to have it and grow in it, is to be God-focused. Get to know the Lord as He has revealed Himself in His Word and in the person and work of Christ, especially. And even, yes, from the realm of nature. Listen to the verse again. While in difficult circumstances, Paul is not ashamed nor regretting the least in his trust in God and his gospel labors in his service. For Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him against that day. The text itself suggests Paul's own self-doubt and his own weakness. He couldn't trust himself. No way. But looking to the Lord, he had great confidence. For he knows God and His almighty ability and faithfulness to His promises and to His people who trust in Him. Looking to the Lord and being God-focused in faith, Paul so comes to enjoy great assurance of faith. His strong assurance and confidence in the Lord comes out in several words in our text. When Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him. The verbs, I know and am persuaded, are in the Greek in the so-called perfect tense, meaning I have known and I keep on knowing. I have come to know and be persuaded, and I'm continuing all the time to know and to be persuaded and convinced that I can have and may have assurance of faith looking to the Lord. Paul isn't filled with assurance one day and the next having no assurance of faith at all or hardly at all. No, he lives his Christian life in the way of assurance of faith. And again, the secret to that is that his assurance of faith is not based on his feelings or his circumstances or his mood, but on the object of his faith. The object being God triune himself. Is not the Lord God as revealed in Jesus Christ, the all-powerful, ever-faithful, merciful, loving, gracious, holy, righteous, unchanging Savior God? Can He not be trusted in all things, in all ways, in all needs and cares, for body and soul, in life and death, for time and eternity? Paul knew he could be trusted. Always. Paul entrusted his whole life and his whole salvation and his whole gospel ministry, all in the Lord's hands, knowing there was no safer and better place to go. And nothing and no one could give so much peace and calm and joy and confidence in God's ways than God Himself. John Calvin writes about Paul's words, and I quote, "If our salvation depended on ourselves, and it was left to our protection, to how many dangers would it continually be exposed? But now it is well that having been committed to such a guardian, it is all out of danger." You see, God is so great and gracious and glorious, nothing of His promises will ever fail with Him. And you and I are safe in the arms of Jesus, in life and death and come what may. Literally, the phrase, what I have committed to Him, is in the Greek a noun referring to a deposit. Like, you know, you make a deposit at the bank. You want to put your deposit in a safe place. Paul sees and knows the greatest deposit of all is having the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is worth infinitely more than all the gold, all the silver, and I should say today perhaps, all the oil in the whole wide world. But Paul knows well this deposit is never a matter of our own achievement, but it's a free gift from God. And it's never a matter of our own keeping ever, but it's always something that needs to be kept for us. And it's kept for us by God most safely. And really, Paul knows God is most willing and reliable ever to lead us and to keep us in the way of grace and truth. And Paul gladly submits himself wholly to Him. His assurance of faith, being so strong and confident, is related to him looking outside of himself to who God is, to what He has promised, and to what He accomplished in and through Jesus Christ. His assurance of faith is not based on any strength in himself, but in all the strength that comes from God. Let me remind you of what Paul says in the verses just prior to our text. He speaks of, in verse 8 and 9 and following, the gospel according to the power of God. And he talks about the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Beautiful words. So much to think about by itself. You see, Paul's assurance of faith is grounded on nothing in himself, but everything in God. And His blessed, rich gospel in and through Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. Another phrase that Paul uses in the text really helps show his strong assurance of faith, and that is the phrase, until that day. A phrase which surely refers to the end of life and to the final judgment. In other words, the apostle is saying here, I know I can always count on the Lord. I can trust Him to save me, to keep me, to uphold me, and I never need to doubt Him or become despairing before Him. No, not even with facing execution before Nero. And when coming to the point of death and facing an endless conscious eternity and coming to the last judgment, I don't have to be afraid. I am safe. And I'm safe and sound through Jesus Christ, the Lord, and trusting Him. That Paul knows so well. He knew it so well. But notice from the words of his text, his assurance of faith had nothing to do with himself, but everything to do with God. He knew God in Christ is faithful and true. And you can't go wrong putting your hope and trust in Him. Whereas you only always go wrong when you're not depending on Him, but depending on yourself somehow, some way. When Paul says, I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day, that should remind us of another time he wrote about being persuaded. Can you think of another time? Romans 8, verse 37 and following. There Paul says, after also glorying in God and His saving work in Christ Jesus, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded, he says, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He was persuaded of this. What a beautiful, bountiful, blessed assurance of faith. We hear that in Romans 8, and we see that also in our text, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Paul says, I know, in the sense of I am personally acquainted with this God whom I trust. I come to Him daily. I call upon Him in repentance and faith and love and devotion every day again. And drawing from Him as poor and needy sinner, even so I know and keep knowing whom I have believed. I say again, just looking at the words of our text, the words of Paul in our text, assurance of faith comes in the way of faith in Christ. Assurance of faith is found and gained in and from the object of faith, and never from within the subjects of faith. People such as you and me, including Timothy and Paul. And from Paul's words we learn, considering the object of faith, there's so much reason for every believer to have such assurance of faith as well as he had. No believer needs to live in continual doubt and lack of assurance of faith. And certainly God's revealed will is that what Paul says in our text is something you and I will confess and know too. Is this also your prayer and your testimony along with me? Then let's move to our second main point, from the words of assurance that Paul used to the way of assurance that Paul knew. What is the way of Christian assurance of faith? I've already hinted at it in different ways, but let me mention here 5 points. 5 helps, you could call them, for assurance of faith. One help is to realize clearly that we are never saved by assurance of faith, but only by faith. We're never saved by assurance of faith or our faithfulness in the way of faith. We're only always saved by faith. Faith in the God of salvation, even the weakest faith that links you to Christ, is sufficient to full and free salvation. We are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, which becomes ours by faith alone. Oh, to know this, to understand this, is by itself so liberating. It can give you so much assurance of faith. If you believe you are not really saved and can't be truly God's child unless you know and assured, and you are assured that you are, then you will be many times in the dark and you will be depressed often in the Christian way. But we're not saved by assurance of faith. I am saved by grace alone, through Christ alone, by faith alone. And assurance of faith is something that is found more and more grasping that gospel truth, and as a fruit of faith, looking to Christ. If you think and will believe you are only saved when you have assurance that you're saved, then you are building your salvation on something of yourself or something within yourself. And a sinner is not saved for self-knowledge about being saved, but on account of faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Just understanding, I say, this basic gospel point, which seems so hard to understand, yet it's so basic and so beautiful. Understanding it can so promote such assurance of faith. A second help for assurance of faith is realizing all true assurance of faith always comes from the object of faith, God triune, as revealed in Jesus Christ, and not in and of ourselves, ever or whatsoever. Dwell on God triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as a God of salvation, in whom and from whom is perfect salvation, freely promised and freely given to all who call upon Him. The more you do this, the more you will see Christ's saving work, as God has made that known and as God has provided that, could never and need never be improved on. And with Him is so much salvation, sinners to save. Jesus' shed blood is called precious in the Bible, and it's precious beyond words. It cleanses us from all sin, the Bible says. With Him is plenteous redemption, the Bible says. Let whatever crowd of sinners come, let the whole world of sinners come, let 10,000 worlds of sinners come, there's plenteous redemption in Christ Jesus for all who come. And the earnest invitation of the Savior is, Revelation 22:17, come, come, and let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. With Christ as once crucified and now risen, exalted Savior, there's a fullness and a completeness and a freeness and a sureness to the gospel promises that is, we have to say, immeasurable and incomparable and unsurpassable and all-sufficient for whoever will trust and follow Him. Everything and more for coming to Christ and for continuing with Christ and for conquering through Christ and for reigning with Him is found in and with Him and from Him. And the more you in faith look to Him and depend on Him, the more you can and will discover this for yourself. In this regard, isn't it so true what someone wrote in a short poem that I found entitled,
If only I had known you. This is the poem. Lord, I crawled across the barrenness to you with my empty cup, uncertain in asking any small drop of refreshment. If only I had known you better, I'd have come running with a bucket. If only I had known you better, I'd have come running with a bucket instead of crawling with a little cup. It reminds me of the song we sang this morning, one of my favorite songs. Open, saith the Lord, wide thy mouth, believing. I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need. He is faithful. He is faithful. You know, someone said, you don't take a gamble when you believe in Jesus Christ. You don't take a gamble when you believe in Jesus Christ. But you know what? You take a big gamble when you don't. And you're going to lose the gamble. You're going to lose it when you don't believe in Jesus Christ. But when you believe in Jesus Christ, you don't take a gamble. You find with Him everything you need. Fullness of life. Eternal life. Freely, fully granted. For whoever looks to Him for salvation. Trusting Him truly, there is endless reason to trust Him wholly and forever with all the confidence in all the world. Well, a third help to realize about the way of salvation, or way of assurance of faith. Not only do we need to know and understand we're saved by faith alone, and not only do we need to understand that assurance of faith comes from the object of faith, Jesus Christ, but thirdly, we need to realize assurance of faith, it comes in the way of being in the Word of God, staying with the Word of God, reading it for yourself, studying it on your own with others, listening regularly to preaching and teaching from the Word of God. Assurance of faith comes and grows in being Word-based, Word-saturated, Word-focused again and again and again. And that makes sense because the Word points us to God, points us to our absolute need of Him and how He is sufficient to meet all our needs. Assurance of faith is in the way of the Word. God works faith and assurance of faith through the Word. God speaks to us and He keeps speaking to us through the Word, read and studied and preached and meditated upon. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light upon my path, David testified in Psalm 119. You know who really understood that? That the Word is so basic to assurance of faith? Martin Luther. Martin Luther, the Reformer, he understood this truth well about living by the Bible and out of the Bible also for assurance of faith. Someone asked Luther, do you feel that you have been forgiven? He answered, no, but I'm sure as there's a God in heaven. For feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant, he said, is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of one sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in His unchanging love till soul and body sever, for though all else shall pass away, His word shall stand forever. Are you a person of the Word? Are you a person in the Word? Are you a person under the Word? Are you a person with the Word? Are you a person living by the Word? Assurance of faith comes in being with the Word and under it time and time again. A fourth way in the way, fourth help in the way of assurance of faith is to realize surely God's revealed will is that His children, as many as trust Him, that you have assurance of faith. That you not only know Jesus, but that you enjoy Him in great assurance as Savior and Lord. Some people sometimes seem to suggest, well, God just doesn't want to give assurance to some people. No, God's revealed will is never to keep His people in the darkness and in the way of more doubt and despair, rather than in the way of joy and peace through Him. Many texts could be given to show this, but let me simply mention 2 Peter 1 verse 10 and 11, where Peter exhorts about being diligent to make your calling and election sure. In other words, seeking to live so that you know whom you have believed and are persuaded with Paul that he is able to keep that which you have committed to him until that day. Let no one here once think that God is pleased that anyone confessing him always be in the dark and always never know for sure whether he or she is saved. Yes, even the most assured godly believer can fall into times of darkness sometimes, in times of despair even. But never does Scripture uphold that as something usual or normal or even as the way it really ought to be for the believer. No. God delights in us when we trust Him truly. And He delights all the more when we trust Him fully and put all our confidence in Him. Jesus spoke well of what? Of childlike faith, which simply and fully trusts Him. He said, that's so beautiful. When you trust me, just like a little boy, trust mommy and daddy. Childlike faith is assurance of faith. Assurance of faith is to be thought of and sought for as something positive. And it's positively God's will for all His people. You know what can really be a means also of growing in this assurance is coming to realize the Christian experience more and more. There's no reason for confidence and assurance in anything else, including yourself. The more you grow as a Christian, the more you realize, you know what, I better not have assurance on anything based in me because it just doesn't work. But when you trust Him, you can have and find such assurance. One last help and point yet about the way of assurance of faith is to realize that true assurance of faith comes in the way of godliness, in the way of faith and living out of your faith in your life. And what I mean here is, I don't mean to contradict anything I'm saying so far. But what I mean here is, if you will live in sin and in any way at all live in conscious, continuous, unrepentant disobedience to any of God's commandments, then it is to be expected, and I have written down here even, it's to be hoped for that you are without assurance of faith. If you will live in open and continuous sin. John writes in this regard in the first epistle, chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. In this regard, it can be said the grace of assurance is a delicate fruit of faith. It's a delicate fruit of faith. When you won't live close to the Lord and in constant humble dependency and devotion to Him and His Word, you can't truly know the assurance of faith that Paul so joyfully speaks of in our text, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. We know for sure Paul also was very careful, wasn't he, in the Christian life. And he sought to live godly and holy and to flee from all sin and evil. He tells us about always, as he says in Acts 24, verse 16, having a conscience without offense before God and men. Well, true and glowing assurance of faith, as Paul showed it and speaks of it in our text, that doesn't happen apart from understanding the gospel of grace, looking to Christ always, staying with God's word constantly, and knowing His will regarding assurance, and living by His precepts, and not in sin and ungodliness. The way of assurance of faith that Paul teaches us, is it attractive to you? Oh, may all here who confess Christ, who trust Him, have and grow in assurance of faith, knowing this way of assurance just mentioned. At the same time, I hope and pray all who will ignore the way of salvation and the way of grace and truth and faith in Jesus Christ, that you don't deceive yourself thinking everything will be all right with you anyways, and that you need not to worry. Assurance of salvation, apart from faith in Christ and living out of His word, will only serve to land you in hell. You can deceive yourself all as well, while not truly trusting and following Christ as only a Savior and Lord. But you can't deceive the Lord Himself. He knows those who hear His voice and who follow after Him with a bucket or with a cup, whatever it is. Whoever is not presently trusting and following Christ and continuing that way, you can only be assured of this absolute truth. You are headed to the place of eternal punishment. But why would you so live and die? Will you not repent and believe and look to Jesus Christ, the Savior, come to be the Savior of sinners? The gospel of Jesus Christ is so blessed, promising full salvation, rich and free, for whoever comes to the Savior and trusts and follows Him. Instead of guilt in your sin, you'll be forgiven all your sin. Instead of heading for hell, you will have a place in heaven. Instead of living aimlessly and fruitlessly, you will have a full and blessed life here. And so much joy and peace and hope and love to come. Your cup will run over when the Lord is your shepherd. But to live apart from Him is darkness, death, and gloom, now and forever. How blessed to belong to the Lord's people. And in order to notice that yet with me, what a blessing it is to trust in the Lord and have assurance of faith. Let's think yet now about the worth of assurance that Paul surely also shows. Think of Paul being so comforted and content in his dismal circumstances. He was in a dungeon in Rome, on death row. Yet he gloried in the gospel. And he had so much joy and peace and hope. When you have assurance of faith, circumstances don't control you. Circumstances don't upset you. Because you always see the larger picture. And you know you are in God's hands. And He will take care of you. Paul knew that, no matter what. What a way to live and die, trusting Christ fully. Blessed assurance, as the hymn expresses it. It leads to perfect submission, perfect delight. Yes, perfect submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. That's the way Paul was, with assurance of faith. Such is the worth of assurance of faith that Paul shows us. Not only is it such a blessing in helping us rise above all circumstances, but by means of it, we also bring so much more praise and glory to God in all our circumstances. The assured believer is the praising believer, pointing to God at all times. Having assurance of faith makes a person also to be so much more an encourager to others in the gospel way. A Christian who is mostly only doubting and mostly only always in the dark, he or she won't shine brightly for Jesus. And you can even be a discouragement actually to others in the gospel way. Whereas the person knowing whom he has believed and glorying in the God of salvation, come what may, outside of him or within him, or around him. What an encouragement and help and pillar sort of person such an individual will be. Such a blessing also in the church family. What a blessing to have in the church family. Many who know whom they have believed and are persuaded about God that He is able to keep what we have committed to Him until that day. Won't such, in fact, make faith also very appealing to the younger generation? You know, if the younger generation grows up hearing, yeah, that's the gospel, and oh yeah, I hope it's going to be true for me. I hope one day I'll know. You think that's attractive for the younger generation? We have way more to tell about than all that the world offers. Let's let our younger generation know that. Where there's faith in Christ and humble confidence and hope and joy and peace in Him, with that faith in Christ, that becomes attractive to others. The worth of assurance of faith. Is there something you would pursue as being of greater worth than this Christian blessing? Isn't it safe to say that there can't be a greater blessing? And you can be of no greater blessing than when knowing and living with true Christian assurance of faith. This blessing is available to all at the exact same place where Paul found it, with Jesus Christ the Lord. You may come to Him with your empty buckets. You don't need to crawl with a little cup, but run with your buckets of need and sin and trouble and questions. And He has the answer. He'll bring you the comfort and the help you need. Faith and assurance of faith, these are so related. Don't live, please, as if they are not. And live in such a way that others also know from you, nothing can compare to this blessing. Will you so live by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? Without a doubt, that will give you every reason never to be ashamed. Saying with Paul long ago, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him." Not just for today, or for Monday, or for this week, but until that day. Because Jesus lives and He's ascended at the right hand of God. And He will make sure that not one of His sheep is lost. Trust Him. And you'll never be ashamed. The Bible tells us so. Amen.